Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The man himself, the man they call Sticks,
yeah.
LeVar Arrington.
What up?
My guy, LeVar.
Yeah, man. Happy to be here.
We were just talking during the break about how difficult it is for us to say R's and W's together. It's very difficult.
R's
like,
and W's.
Like rivalry week.
Or real world.
Yeah, I struggle with that.
It's like interesting.
Russell Westbrook.
It's hard.
It's tough.
I can get Russell Westbrook, but it's difficult.
Yeah, rivalry week was always the one that got me.
Because it's two R's and rivalry. Rivalry week.
Yeah, it's screwed, man. It's not fun.
Because it's the way you have to, like when you're enunciating, to enunciate it and do it in quick form and fashion, it's different. Like to form your mouth to make the letters.
It's one of those things.
The things, you know, people that speak through the microphone, you know, have to come up with something.
Yeah, I mean, look, I remember working in the South and we were doing a big college football preview, and it, you know, like there's that game towards the end where it's all the rivals that go head to head, and so we were doing this big college football preview, and it probably took me a half hour to cut of the line. It's rivalry week. I don't know what it was.
See,
like,
but
I
what you
do
just
it.
Did is how you do it. You got to push it out with your, like, you got to push it through your breath. You got to push it out, man.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And God forbid you try and do that while you're outside during the cold, trying to do a live report. That's just not happening. So all sorts of struggles for us here that we are airing out here on the air on Fox Sports Radio. The news of the day in the NFL was the piping that Aaron Rodgers gave the Green Bay Packer organization, the front office, pretty much laid waste to everybody there, LeVar. Put them all on notice. Let everybody know, here's my frustrations. This is what has bothered me. This is what I wanted to have happen. This is what has not happened. Here's where we're at. And this is what could possibly be taking place when in regards to I could be leaving. I could be out of here. And this team could be stuck with whatever they're dealing with. Or I can be more involved. We can resolve some of these issues, and maybe he sticks around for a longer period of time.
The dude is a beast, man.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to tell you. Like, so the GM comes out and he speaks and, quote, Guntkus said Wednesday, he's earned the right to have those discussions.
Yeah.
I think what he's done for the done for this organization, he deserves at least the conversation every year. Think about this now, because we're saying this is the last dance. He's gone. He's out of here. He did the restructuring to do this. LeVar has been telling y'all need to pay attention to your boy. LeVar has been telling y'all this was a power move. He is not trying to leave. He's trying to stay. So here we go. He has earned. Where am I here? He deserves at least the conversation every year. Every year, meaning not just this year. He didn't say he deserves to have the conversation this year. He said he deserves to have the conversation every year about where we are heading, where he's heading. So to me, what's going to happen here? Now, here's what's going to happen, because this isn't quite a hostile takeover, because hostile takeover, you generally lay waste to the top guys. Go ahead.
Do you want to hear your guy, Brian Gutekunst?
Come on, let's hear it.
All right, so here was the Packers GM from yesterday.
Well, I think winning is the most important thing, right? That's the number one thing. When we make decisions, whether it's personnel, whether it's Matt and his coaching staff, whether it's Mark and what some of the things he's doing, I think there's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of different angles, you know, certainly from personnel. You know, I got salary cap, coaching, scouting, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's just kind of continuing to incorporate those things with Aaron. I think he's earned that seat at the table to have a voice. He always has had a voice. I think it's just kind of incorporating that.
Oh, interesting.
Well, he put him in the corner.
Yeah, incorporating the voice.
After what Aaron Rodgers did to them on that chessboard yesterday, he put them in check. It ain't mate yet, but he did put them in a strong check, and they're going to lose like a strong piece. Like something's going to come off of the board with what Aaron Rodgers did to them yesterday. So now, really, because you can't sit there. If you're Mark Murphy, if you're Gundakiss, I'm not going to say his name right. So forgive me.
BG. Just call him BG.
Okay, BG. All right. If those two guys don't sit there and really get behind this, you're going to look foolish because you do not have the resume. You do not have the bones, the foundation to be able to stand up to what that man presented in that presser yesterday. You would be best served to stay away from turning what he said yesterday into a debate or into a confrontational type of exchange. You will lose. Yeah. So now you hear that those sound bites, you hear the quotes. They are now in the corner, and they are forced with their backs against the wall to have to figure out how to reconcile this situation with Aaron Rodgers, and that's all he's wanted. Either you reconcile this and you give me my respect and we move forward, or I'm going to blow this bitch up and I'm going to roll up out of here and y'all are going to be left with the carnage of what's left for not giving me what I wanted in this situation that exists.
And so when Rodgers was breaking down just sort of the timeline of the events, one of the discussions that came up at the press conference was draft day, because it was on draft day when all of a sudden there was a report from Adam Schefter that Rodgers was unhappy and he wanted out of Green Bay. And so Rodgers was asked yesterday about draft day, and here's what he had to say.
This wasn't, a draft day thing. This was started with a conversation in February, and I just expressed, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job.
Now, here's where this gets interesting, mm-hmm. because Paul Allen, who is the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, and he's a big time voice and personality in Minneapolis and does great work there. But he reported that, and I had heard this same thing, and I heard this separately, but he had reported on the day of the draft that Aaron Rodgers was told that he was going to be traded by the Green Bay Packers, and that it was the 49ers.
Because that's what they wanted to do.
Yes. And so that report came out, and there's also that story is surfacing again that the Packers wanted to trade Rodgers, and part of his frustration, and this is what I had heard, and I heard this from somebody completely separate, but part of Rodgers' frustration was the fact that he was under the impression that they had a plan, that the Packers were going to trade him, that the 49ers were the team being discussed that he would be traded to, and then all of a sudden the Packers backed away from the trade, and Rodgers looked around going, what the hell's going on here? Like you don't even like what is the direction?
Now you have more context. Like, think about it. Why would Aaron Rodgers want to go to the San Francisco 49ers and leave Green Bay? You know why? Because he didn't have a place at the table.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to allow me to be at the table, then you at least trade me to a place
exactly.
like San Francisco.
And you weren't even able to get a deal done when there was potentially a deal that was there. And
you didn't want to get that deal done.
And
you wanted to get it done.
Yes.
But you didn't when they were getting cold feet, probably.
And the reason I think they got cold feet is because look at it this way. At that point in time, the 49ers had already moved up in the draft with the Dolphins. Mm. If you're the Green Bay Packers, wouldn't the assets that were there before you made the trade with Miami been more appealing? Because they gave up a first-round pick in 2022 mm-hmm. and a first-round pick in 2023. If I'm Green Bay, I don't care about the number 3 overall pick. I'm not taking a quarterback. I got Jordan Love, right? So this is...
Right?
Yes. So
like, right? As in, like, question mark,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, so...
Like, you don't say, like, I have Jordan Love, right?
So,
no, you say, I have Jordan Love, right?
Yeah, so this whole discussion, you just look at every possible scenario that was there, and it just screams of man, Green Bay had opportunities here, and it just they continued to either kick the can down the road or completely miss the can and twist their ankle because they didn't know what direction they wanted to go in. And that, I think, gets to the base of this all, which is his frustration with the way
they
this
don't
whole
know
thing
what it's been. He's saying he basically told y'all yesterday that this whole operation isn't being ran in the most professional manner.
Like, if Washington told you back in the day, you were in a similar spot with Washington, and they told you, all right, so here's the deal. We're going to try and get a deal done. We're going to try and get a trade done, and we've got a team locked up. And you're like, okay, well, at least I know that we've got this out of the way, and I can focus on getting to my next destination and figuring this out. And then all of a sudden, they come back to you and go, yeah, about that trade, just wasn't able to happen.
Yeah.
You'd be pissed.
You would be. But here's the thing. If I go in the trade, it's just a trade. If Aaron Rodgers goes in the trade, you have detonated. You have basically shorted the stock of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So when you're making a decision like that, when I never knew that the Jays and Jimmy Dean were cowboy boots. Anyway, that's random. I'm going to just tell
God,
you.
God, you're
that,
right.
Is that right?
It's like I didn't realize the Brewers logo was a mitt until like 3 years ago.
I knew that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah,
bro, you thought you knew that the Jimmy Dean sausage Jays were boots.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I am so late to the party on that one. It's so random.
Yeah, it's all right.
You think? Yeah, yeah.
By the way, where's the grilling show? Yeah, I mean, what are we doing?
You know what's on my mind right now. Hey, but here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers has now put so much context that you're looking at Green Bay like, these dudes are foolish. Like, what have they been thinking?
Yeah, it's
so now they got to try to make good on making Aaron happy because it's like Aaron almost just put them in – they're in – career suicide watch mode right now.
Yeah, because and look, we were talking about this yesterday and you made the point. There's a big difference between if the Patriots walk away from Tom Brady and he rattles off, you know, a couple more Super Bowls and has a ton of success.
You can get away with
it. Yeah, of course, because you have a built-in success equity.
Correct.
As the Patriots organization because you have won Super Bowls and you got a lot going on there.
And you have a leadership, right? You have a head coach that can stand up in the wake of Tom Brady leaving. You have a owner that can stand up and lead in the wake of a Tom Brady leaving. What do you have in Green Bay?
And look, Matt LaFleur has done a great job as head coach the first 2 years in Green Bay.
He ain't standing up in that
way. Exactly. And that's the issue. And one of the other things that was talked about, and I heard about this. I remember where I was when I heard this. In the Super Bowl in Atlanta, Patriots-Rams, at Radio Row, I was talking with two people with NFL ties. They're in front of the Fox Sports Radio Radio Row booth, and they had the big setup there. And they told me, Aaron Rodgers had no input on the Matt LaFleur hiring. None. They didn't even consult him. There was no discussion with him. There was no, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And some people might say, oh, well, you know, why would
they're
they consult
him? They're not supposed
him?
To. Yeah. That's dangerous. He's a player.
You want to know how Bruce Arians ended up in Arizona? A lot of people don't know this. Bruce Arians was one of the final two candidates for the Chicago Bears coaching job. And the Bears went to Jay Cutler and said, who do you want to go with, Bruce Arians or Mark Trestman? Cutler leaned to Trestman, and that was an absolute diaper fire. And Bruce Arians went on to Arizona.
That made him pretty good.
Damn right he did. And then later parlayed that into a gig with Tampa Bay, and now he's got a Super Bowl.
Made that a pretty good team.
But they consulted with Jay Cutler about the coaching gig.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers never was even consulted about that.
There's nothing wrong with consulting players about decisions.
Exactly. Like, what do you think?
The best organizations are ran by people who are employees that take ownership over the job that they're doing, not guys that show up to do their job and punch out and go home and when they're done. No, the best employees are the ones that punch in and take ownership over their job. You know why? Because they are going to take – and go the extra mile. They are going to have extra accountability. They're going to have a measure of pride in what it is that they're doing. They're not just trying to get a check. And I think that when there's something to be said about when you have a high-level employee that understands it, by the way, happens to be a minority share owner of the basketball team. So you have ownership qualities in this employee that you have. He can give you, you can learn from players about what's going on with your team, personnel-wise, culturally speaking. There are, you know, how much money do you think Aaron Rodgers makes right now or could make to go into a company and talk to them about culture build out, inspiration, yeah, accountability, a Tom Brady? How much do you think they would get paid just to go in and talk for an hour about what it is to have teamwork, winning teamwork in an environment that's conducive to winning? How much do you think they would command? It's a lot. But yet in your own organization, you can't command the respect for them to talk to you about what personnel moves that may take place, what you think, what could work best when you got a guy that you are basing the value of your stock, you're basing the value of your franchise off of that person in specific, particular. But you can't have a conversation with him about roster moves, about coaching moves, about anything, marketing,
yeah,
advertising. You can't state how much do you think State Farm pays him to be a part of State Farm? You don't want to leverage that brand the way State Farm is leveraging that brand for your franchise? All he did was expose more conversation about how many misses are taking place with how you're underutilizing a guy like that. He's a tremendous asset, and you're not even utilizing it. How does that work? And you say the whole thing is to win. You want to just win. You want to win. But how are you just winning when the biggest piece of your puzzle to win is confused as to why he's not being consulted at every turn for a quarterback, for a coach, for a draft pick, for free agents? Why is that such an issue? And now that people see it and are getting the opportunity to catch up to where Aaron Rodgers is and understand it, it's like a mind-blowing epiphany that's taking place for everybody who has not looked at it this way.
It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up next, we got a major accusation in the world of football. We will see if there's anything to it. It's yours next here. Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox.
I wish people knew how crazy Jonas Knox really is.
Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington here on Fox Sports Radio. Does it have a talk?
You know, the name of the show. You know you should have a podcast, and it's just hit me. This revelation has just hit me. It should be entitled Visiting the Mind of Jonas Knox. There it is.
It might
have been born today.
Yeah, I just think about things.
Now, I just don't know that you would have a job. Then, like, after each podcast, I would be concerned if you had a job on mainstream
radio.
Oh,
yeah. No, that's one you do after you win the lottery, because then you're not worried about money.
But you would make a ton of money off of giving the thoughts that are in your mind, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's too raw. Like, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. That's what's going on. Like, when I hear the stuff you say during breaks, that's what comes to mind.
Well, listen, there is an accusation being had in the world of sports.
Uh-oh.
Over Arrington.
Okay.
You hear this?
All right.
All right. I don't know if you saw this, but you know how Texas and Oklahoma are thinking about going to the SEC,
yes,
waiting on approval on that?
Yes.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby is claiming,
upset,
yeah, that he has documented evidence that ESPN tried to encourage an unnamed conference. CBS Sports is reporting it's the American Conference, Athletic Conference, tried to encourage them to take Big 12 teams from the Big 12 to throw a wrench into the Big 12 and everything. Now, ESPN has denied that. They obviously have partnered and have a relationship when it comes
to the Big 12.
Yeah. Listen, man, it felt a little rushed. It felt a little out of the blue. Oh, so your top two teams all of a sudden want to go to the SEC. Wait, what happened here? So it does feel
has to be a reason, incentive, something that motivates or, you know, kind of gets the thing moving, gets it rolling. To create these mega conferences is to create mega expenditures.
Yeah.
And mega billing. That's what it's all about. I mean, you are creating a conference where you can command more money being spent and more money being generated.
And here's the thing, and this is why I bring it, because you mentioned, you know, inside the mind of
and television
me.
Is yeah. a major part of that.
Yeah. Inside the mind of me. And
yes.
I don't know, me personally, I don't have any evidence of this. All right. So I'm not making an accusation here. I'm not claiming anything. I don't have any evidence of this stuff. You know, Bowlesby sends a cease and desist to ESPN because he's claiming they were involved in trying to tear apart the conference. All I'll say is this, if we want to go inside the mind.
Uh-oh.
If I were a betting man,
okay,
I would say, yeah, that probably makes some sense. Like because when TV and you just touched on it, when TV money is involved,
that's different money.
It's astronomical money.
That's different
money. And so look, there's a lot of people that feel like part of the reason why the Tim Donaghy situation in the NBA didn't get as much heat or maybe as much pushback initially, because the story had been out, there were rumors that had been out there, is because the NBA was waiting on their TV contract to get done before they acknowledged that there was an issue with Tim Donaghy. Mm. There's stories like that all over the place. So in my mind, inside my sick and twisted mind, I look at this and I go, I don't have proof that this is true, but it would not surprise me whatsoever if a network got involved and had some sort of an impact on a conference falling apart at the seams because they had a vested interest in it, and ESPN has a vested interest in the SEC. I mean,
and what? How would you like for me to respond to that one, Jonas?
Or in the words of LeVar, there's a lot to unpack there.
There's
you know?
A lot to unpack there.
but would it surprise you?
What I'm trying to say to you is, by not saying it, is that you're spot on.
Would it surprise you?
No.
Yeah, I just.
In fact, not only would it not surprise me, that's probably 100% what's going on.
That's crazy, man.
The interest is too high. It looks amazing. The interest is way too high for them not to want. If this is the perfect time to try to lure different teams into different conferences so that you can align them and continue to organize them in a way where you can make your station, your channel, your network more attractive and appealing to advertisers.
In a cord-cutting time.
This is one of the most volatile times for selling advertising in terrestrial entertainment.
Yeah.
You had better try to stay ahead of what you got going on. And how do you do that? Well, you do it by creating content that is worth investing in. You parcel and put together and pair and package, you know, teams and schools and assets that can command the type of dollars that you're trying to command if you're a network. That's how this all works. So to actually think that doesn't exist or that's not what's happening.
Naive.
Ah, come on. Yeah. Or just unaware.
Yeah. Look, this is just tip of the iceberg with all this stuff. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, LeVar Arrington with you here on FSR. Coming up next, some things in the world of sports we have not had a chance to get to. They are called the scraps. They are yours here on Fox Sports Radio. For all the latest, though, from around the world of sports, we turn it over to Eddie Garcia.
Thanks, Jonas. NFL News. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media for the first time at training camp and basically aired out his grievances with the organization, including naming names of past players he felt were not treated properly. Rodgers says that his issues with the team were not about money, and he did contemplate retirement, but said, quote, I just want to be involved in conversations that affect my ability to do my job, end quote. At the Olympics, American swimmer Caleb Dressel won his second gold in Tokyo. He took the 100-meter freestyle, and teammate Bobby Fink of the U.S. won gold in the 800-meter. freestyle. As far as the medal count right now, it is Japan leading right now with 15 gold medals. China has 14 and the U.S. with 13, but the U.S. does lead in the overall medal count with 37. Baseball games of note, we had the Dodgers shutting out the Giants 8-0. Walker Buehler, the starter for L.A., 7 shutout innings, allowed just 3 hits. He's now 11-1 on the season, and the Dodgers move 2 back of San Francisco in the NL West race. Yankees beat the Rays 3-1 in 10 innings. New York also reportedly finalizing a deal to land all-star outfielder Joey Gallo from Texas in exchange for 6 other players. This ahead of the trade deadline coming up on Friday. Blue Jays and Red Sox played a doubleheader in Boston. Toronto takes game 1 4-1. Boston comes back for a 4-1 win in the second game. Mets edge the Braves 2-1. New York now with a 4-game lead on Philadelphia in the NL East because the Phillies game against the Nationals was postponed because of a COVID outbreak on the Washington team. Astros leaders in the AL West beat the Mariners 11-4. White Sox on top in the AL Central lost to the Royals 3-2, and the Brewers leading the NL Central beat the Pirates 7-3. And by the way, Jonas, I also didn't know about the Brewers hat, maybe not a couple years ago, but maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
I finally realized it was an M and a B that made
yes.
a knit, and I felt like the biggest idiot on the face of the earth for not knowing it sooner.
It was so obvious.
What
and I just I didn't realize. I just never put two and two together. I just didn't like I'm still trying to I think the Montreal Expo logo is like the M and the
Put together.
Yeah.
But it's like the colors change or whatever.
Yeah. You know.
I'm just trying to tell y'all, them Jimmy Dean Jays threw me totally off. I just saw a commercial. That's where it came from. I'm not going to say like this was some striking, you know, epiphany that came out of nowhere. It was on television, and they showed cowboy boots, and then they turned them into the logo of Jimmy Dean sausage. I was like, oh my gosh! I grew up on Jimmy Dean sausages.
Yeah, well, listen,
yeah, man.
I mean,
now you pop them joints out, like make a little patty, put it in the microwave, boom, you're out of there, man. That's how it worked back in the day for your boy.
By the way, this update brought to you by Jimmy Dean sausage.
I was gonna say, come on, Lamar, we're not handing out free stuff.
I'm not
here.
Trying to hand How out free you? Stuff, but they might hear this and want me to represent Jimmy Dean sausage.
By the way,
holla at your boy.
Speaking of sausages, coming up
sausages.
12 minutes from now, apparently somebody had a few too many before they showed up to training camp. So we will get into that story here.
I saw what you did there.
We'll get into that story here 12 minutes from now on FSR. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox. And now it's time for something we do called this.
You moron. How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to our executive producer, Danny G, to find out what the hell we've missed so far. D?
All right, Eddie Garcia mentioned this in the update, but you two haven't been able to weigh in. The Olympics, where some of America's biggest stars have obviously had some issues. Not swimmer Caleb Dressel. He shined on the big stage. Dressel claiming his first individual Olympic gold medal of his career with 2 crazy laps of the pool Thursday morning. They describe it here as furious laps, winning the 100-meter freestyle over defending champion Kyle Chalmers. Dressel dove into the pool and came up with the lead. He was still ahead at the one flip and turned away the Aussies' bid for a second straight gold. It means a lot, Dressel said. I knew that weight was on my shoulders. Dressel's winning time is an Olympic record 47.02, just 0.06 of a second ahead of Chalmers, who got the silver. Take that, Australia.
Yeah, now what? I mean, what does this turn into? Like, I mean, is there actual money making opportunities for him post Olympic? Like, how old is he? Is he gonna go again, or is this? I think he's a little bit older, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I'll have to look that up.
But like the point being, like you hear about these Olympians like back in the day, like the movie Foxcatcher. One of the scenes was those guys are Olympic like medalists. Those guys are Olympians, and there was just no money post wrestling career. And so, you know, they're, you know, having to scrape together to try and, you know, afford lunch or whatever it is. And these are Olympians.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, like, is there nowadays, are there enough marketing opportunities for Dressel to be able to go out and make a living post-swimming
there
career?
There certainly were for Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
But I don't know that exists for everyone. I mean, gold medalist and Olympian are 2 different things. You can be an Olympian. But if you're a gold medalist Olympian, depending on how popular that sport is going to give you some great opportunities.
Yeah. I thought he might be mid-20s. He is 24, Jonas, so he's a youngster.
He looks old. Yeah, he looks old.
He's got fresh ink.
Yeah, he doesn't look that old.
I'm just saying, you know, he's got, you know, the chlorine does things to your body, your skin.
Jeez.
Just saying, it looks older. Nothing wrong with that.
All right,
let's move to the NFL. A guy who does look a little weathered, Sean Payton.
Yeah, now he looks a little weathered.
A friend of the show.
He's frazzled.
Sean, hopefully you can take a vacation after the season and get some R&R.
It hasn't even started.
I know, man, but
he took one during Bounty Gate. He's good.
Yeah,
oh gosh,
looks like he already needs some R&R. He was really frustrated Wednesday night over the fact that Saints star receiver Michael Thomas didn't have ankle surgery until June. He declined to elaborate on why the procedure was delayed. Thomas, of course, who fought through injuries all throughout last season. Payton said, well, look, it appears we're going to have to spend some time without him. It's disappointing, and we'll work through it with some other players that are here, but the surgery took place, and obviously we would have liked that to happen a lot earlier than later, and quite honestly, it should have.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, but the whole approach, which if you get to other parts of the story... This was mutually agreed upon, the approach to all of this. So this doesn't fall all on Michael Thomas.
They were going
to
slow play it.
They were slow playing this situation and decided that this was now the right time to do it, even though Sean feels as though it was the wrong time.
There's been some issues with Michael Thomas there. There was a story that came out that, you know, he and his agent had kind of, you know, had thrown out their potential trade from New Orleans. I just wonder if Michael Thomas looks at this situation and goes, hey, Drew Brees is gone.
Let me get healthy and get up out of here.
Yeah, like, is there an opportunity to go somewhere else? And does it make the most sense to want to continue my career here if we've got all these question marks at quarterback?
Well, I'll tell you, if there's a question mark with the head coach, you got to really start thinking about it, because that's going to be a part of the conversation that you bring up on the guy that you said we're going to bring up in a little bit as well. You got to know what your limitations and your relationship are with the guy that's calling the shots.
Yeah.
And so now you got to think by him coming out, Sean Payton coming out and voicing his dismay of the situation, that Michael Thomas has a few other elements that he needs to be weighing out other than the quarterback situation.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. And finally, earlier on the show, you guys spoke about Chase Young's sports bra.
Yeah.
LeVar threw his homie under the bus.
Yeah.
Well, be careful, guys. Uh-oh. If you also have if you carry a man purse.
Okay.
A German woman who won a lottery jackpot of about $39 million said she carried the ticket in her purse for 6 weeks before discovering that it was a winner.
Oh, God.
The 45-year-old woman told Lotto Bayern officials that she bought a ticket for the June 9th lotto drawing and she shoved it in her purse, forgetting to check it until she decided to play the lotto again a month later. The woman discovered that she was the sole jackpot winner from the drawing. Matching all seven numbers, she won $39 million. I still get dizzy at the thought that I carelessly carried almost $39 million around in my purse for several weeks, she said.
Ugh.
The woman plans to give up buying lotto tickets, as the jackpot will be plenty for her to live comfortably with her husband and daughter. Yeah,
God, that would just give me anxiety.
The passive she only get half of it. Or just under half or something to that effect.
Now, why you got to be a hater so much?
Well,
man?
I just got to break it down to you, the economics.
Yeah, but it sounds better when you say $39 million. Nobody wants to hear, you're only going to get, what, $18.5 million or whatever 16, it is, or $19.5 million, whatever it is.
Uncle Sam going to get his little bit of that.
I mean, could you imagine, though? This is exactly why when I do the lotto, I only do quick picks. I never pick a certain set of numbers because I could not live with the fact that the 1 week I didn't play those certain set of numbers, they hit.
You are more likely to get struck by lightning.
I'd rather be struck by lightning than miss the week that I didn't play my numbers. I swear to God, I'd rather be struck by lightning.
I like how you switched it up. You're more likely to get struck by lightning than win the lottery.
Well, listen, you know.
But I thought that was great how you switched it up and said, I'd rather get hit struck by lightning than not play my numbers.
I just like the 1 week you don't play and they end up hitting. Like, could you imagine having to deal with that the rest of your life? Talk about regret.
My Nana is in her 90s and she hasn't stopped playing her numbers yet. And it just makes you wonder, if you hit and you make $39 million, what are you doing, Nana?
You better...
What you doing, Nana?
Let me tell you, okay, you better carry that tradition on. After she needs to pass that down to you, your kids.
I have never played the lotto in my life. Not one time.
Why would you? Come on. You're not
us. I was playing the lotto every time I went to the gym in the weight room and on the football field. And
damn right.
Basketball
Tell
court
me about it, man.
All that stuff.
Tell me
in
about
the
it.
Bedroom.
Yeah,
oh, wait, huh? What?
It's a good point.
Wait, hold on.
All right.
Where did that come from?
He is LeVar Hefner. He's LeVar Hefner. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Fox Sports Radio. It is Outkick the Coverage here on FSR. Coming up next, there is a situation in the NFL. We got a coach versus player feud, and it is very, very entertaining. We'll have that for you here on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox here on FSR. Make sure you stick around. It is the Dan Patrick Show, heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on FSR. And then LeVar, you and I will be back for a Friday edition of this bonanza here.
Let's do this.
And usually Fridays involve the final hour and a half of the show, LeVar deciding which cut of meat he's going to go buy at the meat market.
Man. I still want to do these turkey legs, man.
Yeah, we've been hearing this for a long time.
I just got to find them.
Yeah, we've been hearing about turkey legs since the first show we did together.
I don't think
it's going to happen.
I don't like people adding me, but if you know where I can get some turkey legs, I'm in Southern Cal, or if it's like a order by order type thing, you know, like... Get at me, like at me in my you know, messages. Like,
yeah,
I want some turkey legs.
Yeah,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that. I mean,
but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna grill them. I think I'm gonna do a really good job of it too. I'm gonna slow cook them first, and then I'm gonna grill them.
Well, speaking of turkey legs. Well, listen, I'm just because I'm not really sure.
I know where you're going. Go ahead. I know where you're going.
So Kelvin Benjamin was trying to make a return to the NFL, and he wanted to play tight end. And he was trying out for the New York Giants. And everybody thought, okay, well, look, if Tim Tebow can make a return to the NFL, he's never played tight end before. Kelvin Benjamin had a relationship in Carolina. Dave Gettleman was there when he was drafted.
Yep.
And so he was trying to make a comeback to the NFL and play tight end. And first practice on Wednesday.
He don't make it through the practice.
They were warm-ups. They were in stretches. And he gets called over by Joe Judge, and then Dave Gettleman joins the conversation. The conversation gets heated, and Kelvin Benjamin walks off the field, and he's cut by the Giants a few hours later.
Yeah.
And nobody can figure out what the hell's happening.
It came out.
Yeah, well, according to Kelvin... Well,
or it went in.
Yeah, well, according to Kelvin Benjamin, and this is his side of it, so we don't have a lot of details from the Giants side of it.
You can read in between the lines.
They wanted Kelvin Benjamin, when he reported back to camp, to come in at 251 pounds as a tight end. And Benjamin showed back up to camp, and he was at 268.
Which is big.
Yeah. So he was at 268.
That's like lineman big.
But Benjamin's point was, so he weighed 265 at the end of camp. They wanted him down to 251, and then he ended up showing up at 268. So he actually gained weight.
And they told him, or he's saying that he was
heavier. It was
muscle. But he was heavier than 251 when he was playing wide receiver.
And so his comment to them was, I passed all the conditioning tests.
Right.
So they had a conditioning test. He passed it. They didn't tell him not to show up the next day for practice. So he shows up there. Then they have the discussion. And then he walks off the field. And, like, I understand that you're fixated on a number. You want him to get down to 251. And he actually shows up at 268. But if he passes the conditioning test, isn't that the most important thing?
No.
Okay. Well, so what am I? So what is this? Just because he couldn't do his part to get down to that number?
This is nothing new. They base what they believe your performance level can be and what they feel how you fit on their roster by certain measurables, and weight is a major one. It's a main one. And like, linemen
really
have to do it.
I wanted to see him play. I really wanted to see how this is going to work.
Linemen have to do it. Sometimes receivers have to do it. Sometimes linebackers. I mean, there's for any player at some point in time, if your weight is this, like they give you your weight index, your body mass index, and they tell you this is your reporting weight. Some people, they don't do it because weight isn't an issue, but some people, you get a reporting weight. Mine was 254 every single year. 254. If I come in 1 pound over 254, every pound over 254, I get fined for it I get to 254. Like that's just like I understand where Calvin is coming from and feeling the way that he feels like maybe he was being targeted, but it's nothing new.
I mean, he was talking about, I put on muscle, and it's like, listen, there's one thing if you put on muscle. There's nothing.
So did Tim Tebow.
Yeah, you put on 17 pounds of muscle.
He's still on a roster right now.
Yeah, it's so I was bunked. I did want to see if this was going to work because he is a big dude, man.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
you're not going to see it now. Yeah, not in New York.
Yeah, he apparently doesn't want any part of the NFL anymore.
I'm going to go get some food.
All right, it's Outkick the Coverage.
I'm going to go get that Benjamin special.
We are back tomorrow here for a Friday extravaganza here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.